Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five. We are out here on the western plains of Colorado fighting for faith, family, and freedom in the western world and around the world. The values of faith, the values of family and freedom pretty much dissipated all around us, and yet it is refreshing to see that the fight for freedom continues in Hong Kong. Protests over China's power grab have picked up big time over the last few months, and hundreds of thousands of protesters have crowded into the airport. Reuters news agency reports that crowds are filling up police stations singing hymns. The riots surround controversy concerning an extradition bill, which would allow local authorities to extradite Hong Kong residents to face charges in communist courts, and that's what they don't want. As many as a million people at a time have crowded the streets of Hong Kong protesting the bill and also wanting the resignation of Chief Executive Carrie Lam and calling for democratic elections. So Hong Kong's Christians make up 11% of the population compared to mainland China's 2.5%. Hong Kong is the most free nation in the world right now, according to the Heritage Foundation's 2018 Freedom Index. This is really impressive, and that somebody actually cares about freedoms from socialist and communist tyrannies. We just don't see this much in America, Steve.
No, we don't. In fact, we're seeing a decrease in freedoms here. We're seeing a decrease in freedoms in homeschooling, in our businesses, whether or not we have to serve everybody, all of that. Mm-hmm. Our freedoms are going down. I can see why we're at number 12
and
now.
We want to do a program on that. But first, Hong Kong. We're celebrating Hong Kong, the one nation in the world still fighting for freedom. And that's impressive, my friends. What's interesting also is that the Christians are leading this. Christians have always led the fight for freedom for the last 800 years. Of Western freedoms, and now, of course, that battle is shifting to the East. We're thankful that there's somebody left in the world. There are Christians left in the world that are fighting for political freedoms out from under socialist and communist tyrannies. And the Christians are leading the fight in many respects on the streets of Hong Kong. There is a YouTube out now collecting the songs that are being sung as part of the freedom protests in Hong Kong. And this is the theme song. Here's the theme song. Let's play it off that YouTube now, Steve. This is a familiar hymn or spiritual song that's sung in American churches, but now on the streets of Hong Kong. Okay, does anybody recognize that?
This is out on the streets in Hong Kong.
Yes, in the airports, the police stations, on the streets. And this YouTube continues on for, I think, 14 minutes. Yeah. And Steve, all sorts of venues, you see sometimes hundreds, if not thousands, singing together this anthem for liberties in Hong Kong, out from under the tyranny of communist China. They're concerned, of course, that communist China is going to continue to bring their tyranny upon churches in Hong Kong, as they have shut down churches and bulldozed churches and arrested pastors and elders in churches throughout communist China over the last 3 to 4 years. They're concerned this is about to happen in Hong Kong as well. So tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Christians are crowding the streets of Hong Kong right now, and probably the largest freedom protests in the world over, I'd say, the last 15 to 20 years. This is remarkable, Steve.
Yeah, if only Christians in the United States would do the same thing. I think it's time for us to start those types of protests, too. Just even singing these songs. It would be offensive to so many people in the United States right now to sing this. And these guys are boldly, you know, watch the video. They're just standing there singing. I don't think they would care what would happen to them.
And do remember, my friends, Hong Kong is separated from communist China by a river. So it's a key moment in the history of the most free nation in the world. If freedom will survive anywhere in the world, in the Western world, of course, dissipating. But in Hong Kong, freedom is still extant. And we're thankful that Hong Kong is the most free nation in the world by the Heritage Foundation's 2018 Freedom Index. And there are Christians still fighting tooth and nail for their freedoms. Carrie Lam, by the way, relented just this morning and said that they will remove the extradition bill. That's not the only request, though, because Carrie Lam is something of a puppet for the communist governments of communist China. Well, my friends, like America, Hong Kong was a British colony for 156 years. Do you know that? It was only in 1996, I believe, that Hong Kong became a subsidiary of communist China. But for 156 years, Hong Kong was a British colony and received a great influx of English missionaries, pastors, and churches flourished throughout Hong Kong over 156 years. By the way, America was a British colony as well for, guess how long? 156 years. So until 1776, from 1620 to 1776. So Hong Kong, like the United States of America, British colony for 156 years, and now they're fighting for their freedoms out from under the communist rule. Friends, they have six times the percentage of the Christian population than the rest of China, and they are number one on Heritage Foundation's Freedom Index. By the way, the GDP per capita, any nation that has a Christian heritage, any nation that has a Protestant heritage, any nation that has anything of a freedom heritage, that is, they have respected free market principles and other forms of freedoms that come from the laws of God and from the pages of Holy Scripture, wherever there are nations in which that freedom has been defended tooth and nail from the Magna Carta to the Declaration of Independence to modern Hong Kong, friends, what you see are the most prosperous nations in the world, bar none. The GDP per capita now for Hong Kong is, guess what? $64,000. The GDP per capita in Hong Kong is $64,000, a tick above the United States. So they're doing slightly better than the U.S.
Yeah, wow, that's just amazing.
China is only 10,000. China's GDP or capita, GDP per capita is 10,000. No wonder China wants to dominate Hong Kong.
Yeah,
it's obvious.
No surprise there. No surprise there.
Okay, my friends, we'll be back in just a moment to speak of more of China's battle for freedom, or Hong Kong's battle for freedom. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. That's the anthem for the freedom fight going on the streets of Hong Kong right now. Be back in just a moment with more. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. Five states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare, and Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast celebrating the fight for liberty going on in the streets of Hong Kong. Sing hallelujah to the Lord is the anthem being played in police stations, in the on the streets, in the airport of Hong Kong, even as we speak. Hong Kong, the most free nation in the world, thanks to a Christian heritage of the last 165 years. And Steve, the rule of Christ does eventually bring freedom and liberty to billions of people around the globe. And that's the story of freedom that I provide in the book just released. Encourage folks to read the history of Western freedoms. It is amazing to see what God has done all the way back from the Magna Carta, from August Augustine and St. Patrick, who were working very hard to set the captives free in the slave labor market of Europe for those first several centuries. And then, of course, the Magna Carta, the Swiss battle for freedom, the Scottish battle for freedom, the Dutch battle for freedom, the United States battle for freedom, and so forth and so on. Well, we tell the story in the story of freedom. It's always been Christians, always Christians. It's been always Christians who will fight the battle for political liberties, real liberties, not the fake liberty provided by Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Karl Marx. And, you know, they use the same language, too. Mm-hmm. The liberals love to talk of liberty, but it's liberty for more slavery. But friends, when it comes to real political liberties, always, 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 always been Christians. The rule of Christ does eventually bring freedom and liberty to billions of people. And Hong Kong is the first major break for the oppressed Chinese people. This is a 2,400-year shift in Chinese hegemony. And I read this story to my children as part of Bible time last night. We're preparing to release a new book called Preparing the World for Jesus, in terms of showing how desperately horrific conditions were for the Chinese and for every other nation around the world before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who sets the captives free. Amen and hallelujah.
Amen. It is for freedom that Christ set us free.
Amen, amen, and amen. In 273 BC, the armies of Qi, led by General Bai Qi, engaged the Battle of Huayang and won. No mercy was shown the surrendering army. General Qi was the source of the legalist theory, and his prime minister was the mastermind behind the legalist theory that would bring communism to the Chinese world in 273 BC. In 273 BC, no mercy was shown to the surrendering army. 130,000 men lost their heads. Finally, in 262 BC, Qin went up against the Zhao king at Zhongping, and the Zhaos surrendered, and 400,000 men were buried alive in what would symbolize the cruelty of a Chinese hegemony for the next 2,200 years. In other words, they were doing awful things, just like Mao Zedong, just like the modern Chinese hegemony, etc., back in the 200s BC. Once the empire was consolidated, the legalists went to work to create the first massive communist state in history. Ownership of weapons was banned. All swords and arrows were collected at the capital. Wandering minstrels were replaced with official state-sanctioned entertainers. The rich landowners and their families were moved to the capital to stay under the watchful eye of the central government. If somebody violated a major law, the entire family was executed. Work camps were created for those violating minor state regulations, and millions populated the gulags. There was plenty of work to do, with 700,000 workers enslaved and employed for the construction of Emperor Qin Shi Huang's palace. Others were used to bring and to build 4,000 miles of highways and thousands of miles of canals, not to mention the 1,500 miles of the Great Wall of China in the north. The emperor was endowed with godlike qualities, and the state cult worship developed, just like modern North Korean cult worship as we see today. Most essential for the state was the eradication of any opposition to the legalist ideology. His closest advisor, the ruthless legalist Li Si, told the king, "Your majesty has firmly established for yourself a position of sole supremacy." And yet these independent schools, the Confucianists and others, joining with each other, criticized the codes of laws and instructions. Hearing of the promulgation of a decree, they criticize it, each from the standpoint of his own school. If such license is not prohibited, the sovereign power will decline above and partisan factions will form below. It would be well to prohibit this. Your servant suggests that all books in the imperial archives, save the memoirs of Qin, be burned. The imperial edict that followed becomes the prototype for all tyrannies the world over thereafter. It was the memorial on the burning of books by Li Si. Anyone owning classical books or treatises on philosophy must hand them in within 30 days. After 30 days, anyone found in possession of such writings will be branded on the cheek and sent to work as a laborer on the Northern Wall or some other government project. The only exceptions are books on medicine, drugs, astrology, and agronomy. Private schools will be forbidden. Those who wish to study law will do so under government officials. Anyone indulging in political or philosophical discussion will be put to death and his body exposed in public. Scholars who use examples from antiquity to criticize the present, or who praise early dynasties in order to throw doubt on the policies of our own most enlightened sovereign, will be executed, they and all their families. Government officials who turn a blind eye to the above-mentioned crimes will be deemed guilty by virtue of the principle of collective responsibility and will incur the same punishment as that inflicted for the offense itself. And the result was some 300 Confucianist teachers were summarily buried alive, and I think they were their heads were rolled over by chariot wheels. Mm. So again, friends, this is the story of Chinese hegemony. It's begun all the way back into the 300-400s BC, continued into the 200s BC, and now is just being republished one more time by the atheistic communists of Mao Zedong and the present government of China. Now, thankfully, over 2,300 years, finally, the liberty of Christ has come to a small portion of China. And this is my point. Is it was only the Christians who could bring in a form of government that would eventually demolish the horrific persecutions, the tortures, the executions of the Roman Empire and the Chinese hegemonic communism from the legalists. Friends, this is the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only Christ. It's only the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that brought about a radical liberty that would be enjoyed by billions of people around the globe. It has been the satanic influence of the legalists, the communists, the socialists, the atheists, and others that have brought a hell on earth to billions upon billions of people. But it was Jesus who came to set the captives free. It was Jesus who came to make us free and make us free indeed. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This is the story of freedom that we have received in the Western world and have largely rejected in just the last, say, 60, 70 years.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say, I mean, all of these new socialists, new communists like AOC and the rest, I mean, they would say, well, now we know all the pitfalls. We know what the problems could be. And so this new form of socialism, this democratic socialism, is going to be so much different if we just follow what they have to say. So there won't be any of these killings and all of this other stuff.
You know, it's interesting, Steve. Actually, the Chinese attempted that directly after this dynasty. It was the very next dynasty. For the next 300 to 400 years, they tried a softy, wafty socialism, which ultimately drove the entire nation into bankruptcy. So, yeah, following up with another form that ultimately denies the salvation of Christ and the laws of God, the commandments of God, as a means for preserving liberties, did not solve the problem for China and eventually resulted in the dissolution of the civilization over the following 600 or 700 years. So yes, China tried that too. You know, so just like we are trying communism and then we try socialism and then we try communism again, then we try socialism again. These are the ideologies that destroyed China over 2,000 years ago, and they are the ideologies that are destroying the entire Western world today as well. As well as Russia and China are being destroyed by these ideologies over just, say, the last 80 to 90 years. So we are attempting the same experiments. We have abandoned the Word of God. We have abandoned the law of God in the Western world, and the end result, of course, will be more destruction. The point is, though, that we have a heritage, and I think this is the thing I want to bring back, is we have a heritage. We have a heritage of Christians, and Christians fought tooth and nail for these freedoms. I think of William the Silent. What a great example of a man of God who stood in the gap against this horrific empire led by Philip II in the 1560s and 1570s, and he swore that he would bring an Inquisition twice as bad as the Spanish Inquisition upon the Dutch. Indeed, he burned whole families alive. Indeed, he burned tens of thousands of people and tortured them to death. It was the most horrific tyranny, much like what you see in the hegemonic Chinese tyrannies of previous centuries, brought back into the Western world by Philip II. But it was William the Silent that stood against that. It was William the Silent that gave everything up. It was William the Silent that gave up all his belongings, gave up his position, all his nobility. He gave up his wife. He gave up three of his brothers in the conflict. His son was kidnapped by Philip II and taken to Spain. He eventually lost his life. Philip II put a contract out on his life, and he was assassinated on the second attempt. His last word was, I think, critical. He was laying there on the stairs after the assassin had shot him. His sister came up to him and said, "Are you in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ?" He said yes, and then he died. But at that point, they had already achieved independence, and they had written their own Dutch Declaration of Independence from Spain, and they had achieved a relief from the horrible Inquisition and the horrible tyranny of Philip II. So he had achieved independence. He had achieved the freedom for his beloved Netherlands before he died. This is probably the most phenomenal story in all of history concerning a man who gave it all for the cause of freedom and to protect his people from the tyranny of Spain, the tyranny of hegemonic forms of governments. And friends, what's important here is that that Netherlands was the worst place on earth. It was the hell on earth. It was the place nobody wanted to be in the 1560s and 1570s. We're talking tens of thousands of people tortured to death, burned alive for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, it's interesting, he was killed, I think, 1584. Just, what, 25 years later, the pilgrims came and they fled from England because there were some executions going on there. There was a denial of religious liberties in England for a period. And those pilgrims fled into Leiden and received that protection and that shelter in the Netherlands. So the worst place on earth became the best place on earth because of the work and the sacrifice of one man. I can't think of a more inspiring story in all of history. Friends, there are no more inspiring stories than these stories of those who have given everything. Those Christians, those committed Christians who have given everything for the cause of liberty. And friends, if you enjoy any kind of liberty, you need to tell your children the stories of liberty that were achieved largely by Christians. And I speak of the Magna Carta. I speak of the Swiss battle for independence. I speak of the Scottish battle for independence. William Wallace, Braveheart of Scotland, a godly man studying for the ministry. You know, he was studying for the ministry Yes. Under two of his uncles. He had a psalter with him at all points. Braveheart of Scotland was a minister in training. He was going to be a pastor of a church in Scotland until he took up the great battle for freedom against the tyrants of England at that time. And, of course, eventually it was William Wallace and Robert the Bruce who achieved that liberty that sustained for about 400 years after the Battle of Bannockburn. So, friends, tell your children the stories of liberty. Tell them the stories of how liberty was fought for and retained in the United States in 1776 by very, very godly people who called the nation to repentance, to serve the living Christ, and to submit themselves to the Word of God. And these were the proclamations of the Continental Congress until a more liberal Congress was elected later on. But initially, the Continental Congress really did acknowledge the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ and called a nation to repentance when they were violating the laws, the commandments of God. These were the sorts of battles that were waged for the cause of freedom for the United States of America, for the Netherlands, for Scotland, even for England, as well as for Switzerland. And now, friends, the battle for freedom is being waged on the streets of Hong Kong. By who? By Christians who sing the hymn, "Sing Hallelujah to the Lord." The battle for freedom in the 21st century continues, this time in the East. The legacy largely forgotten by most Christians in Switzerland, by most Christians in England, by most Christians in the Netherlands, and by most Christians in the United States of America. So friends, those of you who are left who still believe in Christ, those of you who are left who still believe that if the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. Please, I plead with you, celebrate these freedoms. Acknowledge these freedoms. First and foremost, the freedom from sin, and then the freedom from the tyrants that will abuse the people. Please, I plead with you, celebrate the freedoms that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us and tell your children of the battles that have been fought by those who have believed in this Savior who sets the captives free. Tell your children the stories of freedom. That's why I wrote the book, The Story of Freedom, just released with a study guide, available today at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.